I guess the Middle East is the topic that will dominate this conversation. Mark Levine joins Matthew and David on a regular basis, a constitutional attorney, worked for the US Congress, currently a nationally syndicated American radio and TV talk show host. Hello, Mark Levine.
Hello, Spence. How are you, sir?
I'm going well, thanks very much. I don't know if you've caught up with the news here in Australia, but we're following very closely a story in an adjacent state to South Australia about an 18-year-old young man who's been shot overnight by counter-terrorism police in Melbourne, who presented to a police station after they invited him to go there. He'd been under some surveillance. A couple of police have been stabbed, and this 18-year-old man has been killed. It has changed the climate to some extent here in Australia. What's it like in the US? Is there a climate of fear in the US at the moment or not?
I would say no. I think Americans are... And I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm just saying I think it's true that Americans are kind of tired of this. We've been, ever since September 11th, certainly there was a climate of fear and everything after September 11th, but I would say Americans are almost deadened to this. We're having a war right now, as you know, in Syria and Iraq, fighting ISIS, and Americans, I would say, are... they're moderately giving support. They understand why it's happening, but they're kind of wish it would all go away and focus on domestic concerns.
What's the mood about the possibility, even though it hasn't happened yet, the possibility of ground troops going back into the Middle East?
Americans do not want ground troops back in the Middle East. President Obama's going to have a hard slog as it is. To get it there. Now, again, it doesn't mean that Americans can't be convinced to do it, but after Iraq, after Bush, it was seen very much as a mistake. While the vast majority of Americans supported the war in Afghanistan, I would say that most of us felt after a year or two or three that the troops should go home and not spend 10 years there. I think we really question whether we can defeat terrorism with arms. There's a lot of support. There is a lot of support for helping in a humanitarian way. When we saw the Yazidis and the Christians who were being so brutally treated by ISIS, that definitely awakened Americans. The journalists that were beheaded, certainly Americans are very responsive to that. But I think there's a war weariness that, in other words, it may be necessary, we may support it, but there's not rah-rah gung-ho the way there clearly was after September 11th.
Mm. President Obama is about to preside over an unusual meeting of the UN Security Council. Our Prime Minister is also en route, and he'll be attending that meeting. What would you expect might come out of this, Mark Levine?
Well, he's trying to get, obviously, an alliance of nations together. I think it's very important, President Obama, to act with allies. He's very much a believer in not acting alone, again, seeing very much as a mistake of the Bush years. And he wants to gather this alliance, an alliance of Western nations, of Arab nations, and so forth against ISIS. But each nation has their own agenda, not so much the Western nations. I think we can pretty much count on you folks in Australia and England and some of them. But I think there's a concern with some of the Arab nations that each has their own agenda, and they may join with us on this, but not necessarily on other things.
You know, I don't know if you've seen it, but I happened to watch an American TV talk show hosted by an English gentleman whose name I don't know. I saw it on YouTube the other day, and it was a critique of the Miss America quest. I don't know if you've seen it. It's hilarious. It's very good.
I haven't.
But part of the whole questioning of the contestants of the Miss America, one of the questions was in reference to, and they had 20 seconds to answer the question, how they would resolve the situation with IS.
They had 20 seconds in a beauty pageant to resolve the entire problem.
That's it.
If I just found the solution, I want to elect that woman president of the United States, because anyone who could solve the IS in 20 seconds is clearly way beyond our current president or Congress or anyone else in the United States. What a crazy question.
Yeah.
I'm of the belief personally, and now I'm speaking for myself and not sort of for Americans, that this is a very complex situation with lots of actors, and this isn't just about ISIS. I think that if you, it's easier to show on the news, oh, we're attacking ISIS, this brutal terrorist group. And that's a very one-dimensional way of seeing an extremely complex problem where you have Shia militia and Sunni militia. You have Iran and the dictator Bashar Assad supported by Russia. You have the Free Syrian Army. You have the Kurdish state. You have Lebanon falling apart. You have Jordan, which is at risk. It just seems to me that this is a multiplayer, multi-level chess game, and we want to make it simple. Oh, this is a terrorist group, let's fight them. But it's not so simple, and I actually think our president's a bit befuddled. I think he's trying to do his best, but I don't think he has a clear grasp of all the aspects of this chess game, and so I'm concerned that we don't really know what we're doing, honestly.
Is there any sort of recognition that the initial intervention in the Middle East by the U.S. is part of the reason we're in this situation now?
Well, sort of the Democrats feel that way. I mean, obviously, if we had a nice, stable government under Saddam Hussein, evil dictator though he was, none of this would be happening. I'm a firm believer that the reason why ISIS exists is not because there are evil terrorists in the world. I think there will always be evil terrorists in the world, no matter what happens. I think it's because we have two weak states. Syria is a weak state because Assad's killing his own people, and Iraq is a weak state because we destabilize it. It's really three states. You have Shia Islam, Sunni Islam, and the Kurds, and the state never really was a unified state to begin with, ever since, well, really, the English and French divided it up after World War I. So it's my view that weak states cause terrorism, whether it's Yemen or Somalia or Afghanistan originally. Weak states cause terrorism, and therefore I don't think we can beat terrorism just by beating the terrorists. We might kill a few bad guys, which I don't really care. I'm happy to kill bad guys, but I don't think we defeat a movement unless we strengthen a region so that ordinary people have a stable state to live in, and that's not happening, and that's why I'm very nervous that none of this is going to do much.
Mm. And in many ways, it's uncharted territory because there's a story this morning out of the US about how social media is playing such a big part in this whole incident because entire areas are being cleared as a result of the fear generated by Twitter and other forms of social media.
That's exactly right. And they're ruling by fear. But the only reason that these regions are being the people are leaving their homes of hundreds of years is because they fear, because they have no central government to protect them. If you had a gang, which is what a terrorist group really is, if you had a gang in a strong state like the United States and Australia, people wouldn't leave their homes. They'd call the police. The police would vanquish the gang and you'd move on with your lives. It's because these are weak states that the terrorists have so much power. They know that the state won't defend them. They have to leave their homes, and that's how the gang takes territory. But the part that I really wish President Obama would understand is that it's because the Iraqi state doesn't represent all Iraqis. It's because the Syrian state doesn't represent all Syrians. That's what allows movements like ISIS to be strong. To me, ISIS is an effect of the problem, not a cause of the problem. Evil, to be sure. I'm certainly not defending them. What I'm saying is that it's kind of like when you have no drugs to treat a disease, you get these opportunistic diseases that come in and kill you. That's what I think ISIS is. They're an opportunistic disease. They exist because of the vacuum of power. They're certainly evil, but if we don't resolve the vacuum of power problem, ISIS will continue to grow no matter how many terrorists we kill.
Mark, what is this sort of military commitment by the U.S. doing for the U.S. economy?
Well, actually, our economy is pretty strong, particularly in comparison to the rest of the world. I think Europe is imploding with too much austerity. I think that's one of the main reasons why Scotland almost left Great Britain, the austerity of the British government. And Europe is certainly very weak right now economically. China is pretty weak. Economically, we're doing okay. I mean, we're not great, but by the rest of the world standards, we're better off than the rest of the world. I don't know how you're doing in Australia right now. You know, military spending helps the economy, but I don't think that's what this is about. I really don't. I do think the president is trying very hard to fight a nasty terrorist group. I think he's, I don't doubt his goodwill. I don't doubt his goodwill at all. I just worry that he's a bit simple-minded, let's just say naive, in the way he's going about it, because I just don't think just bombing ISIS is going to solve anything.
Mark Levine, nice to talk to you. I will send you a link to that clip that I mentioned to you. It's 15 minutes that you will enjoy. You will enjoy this 15 minutes. I'll send you a link. All the best. Nice to talk to you, Mark.
I appreciate that.
All the best to you.
And listen, my condolences to all the people in Australia who are suffering after the two police officers. I hope they recover and everything's okay down there.
Thank you so much indeed, Mark. Mark Levine, a regular with Matthew and David, who is a nationally syndicated American radio and TV talk show host and also has a strong political background, as you can probably tell.